a joy it's been to minister alongside of her with prayer, support, and those things. But I won't take any more of your time. God bless you, dear sister. It's good to be with you today.
Thank you so much, Pastor Scott. Thank you so much. Thank you, Lord, for your presence here in our midst. Thank you, Lord, for this holy moment, Lord. Thank you for ministering to your body. You are the head. You are the head, Lord, and we are just basking in your presence, Lord. We thank you for your sweet anointing upon us, Lord God. Thank you, Lord, for North Valley Assembly and each person here, Lord, that is being touched by your presence. Thank you, Lord. I am your missionary to France, Suzanne Spolarich. If you have never met me, you're part of who I am out there on the field, because missions is the work of the church. Missions is given to us. And I have been in, you'll see some slides that I just want to update you. Since the last time I was with you in 2023, I believe it was, I have moved. I've been in France for 30 years. And I was in one place for 7 years at a university, because that's how I could get a visa to stay there. But it was great training, because I minister to university students. And then I was in the Paris area for 21 years. And I had just recently moved in the past 2 years. I've been in the town of Grenoble. Grenoble. Grenoble, we say in English. Grenoble en français. And just the next slide, you will see that I have been involved with Students for Christ, SFC Europe. We're part of that. We're SFC in France. But I went to a retreat in 2025 in Helsinki, Finland, at the beginning of the year. We go every end of January. And you can see we have ministry in Finland. God has been spreading university ministry everywhere, all over Europe. And there I am. It was cold, but we were there. And what a beautiful place that God has made. The next slide shows you my move to Grenoble, France. I live, that's my apartment building. I'm right in the city on the third floor, which actually in the USA would be the fourth floor. Because in France, the first floor is called the rez-de-chaussée. That means it's even with the street. And then you count 1, 2, 3. So I'm actually on the fourth floor in the American mind. Cultural differences, Pastor, cultural differences. The next slide, mountains are around Grenoble. I look up and I think of the scripture, as the mountains are around Jerusalem, so the Lord is around his people. As the mountains are around Grenoble, so the Lord is around his people. Amen. The next slide is a church service at our church. I want you to know that it has been my observation that where we plant healthy university ministry, a church is developed. A church comes forth, Pastor. A church has been planted. And the ministry to students is continuing. But we have a church as well, which is intergenerational. And the students keep coming, and it's growing. It's growing. This is our Easter service in 2023. In the next slide, you'll see, there I am again. We're having dinner with Chi Alpha leaders. If you don't know what Chi Alpha is, that's what Students for Christ is over in Europe. Chi Alpha is ministry to university students here in the USA by our Assemblies of God movement. And I want you to know that we have a lot of missionaries coming up through Chi Alpha. Why? Because Chi Alpha trains, just like we do Students for Christ, we train students to be disciples of Jesus. And the Lord calls them, and they come. And the Lord is moving greatly over this young generation today. I want you to know that you're probably aware of that. The next slide, you will see dark. This is the city of Grenoble by night. We go up to the Bastille. Every time We have a visiting team come. We take them up there so that they can pray over the city by night. We were there praying for Grenoble by night. I took that picture at that time, and I'll tell you, the presence of the Lord is with us, and the presence of the Lord is over the city of Grenoble, France. The next slide shows you me with Tim. He has been the leader of the team, of the Students for Christ team, right there at the University of Grenoble, he and his wife, Emily. And we were doing a prayer walk that day, and we do prayer walks often. And I want you to know that prayer is at the core of everything we do. And I thank you for your prayers. Without your prayer, where would we be? Prayer is the beginning of it all. Thank you, Lord. The next slide shows you my new apartment. This is the combination of my living room and dining room. There's doors between the two rooms. And we're having a meal in my home with the team. And what a time. I felt like my apartment was blessed. It was enriched, because that's what it's there for, to serve our students, to serve leaders who come. We want the gospel to be coming forth from our homes as well. In the next slide, you see the university, and here we're having a snack, an afternoon snack. It is a big deal in France to sit down and eat with people. And you know, Jesus showed us that model, didn't he? He was often having meals. Sometimes he invited himself. He told Zacchaeus, I'm coming to your place. And they prepared a meal. Listen, take time, take coffee. The Holy Spirit might say, hey, see that neighbor? Go over and just, you know, take a cake or take some cookies, and you can have coffee and tea and bless someone and lead them to the Lord. Hallelujah. In the next slide, you see me teaching and preaching. I'm teaching the students on a Saturday night. This is down in the city of Nice, France. And then on a Sunday morning, the pastor whom I've known, I've been in France now, remember, for 30 years. And so I know a lot of people. And the pastor said to the leader who was inviting me to come to be with the students, one of my colleagues, she said to him, Suzanne's coming. She's going to teach the students. He said, oh, tell her to preach on Sunday morning. I want you to know that's the kind of relationship you can develop over years. I have a long-standing relationship with many in the French Assemblies of God. And what this picture illustrates is that God is moving to put us in tandem with one another. You know what a tandem is? A bike for two, a bicycle built for two. And so the French Assemblies of God and the American Assemblies of God, we are working together more and more and more. And listen, God is doing his work. We just have to keep in touch with him. And so he allowed me to preach that Sunday morning, and I preached on revival, folks. Because revival is coming, and God prepares revivals. We can't have a revival service and bring revival. The Holy Spirit has to do it, as Pastor said this morning, and as the Holy Spirit is saying. Just let him do it, right? In the next picture, you'll see our training for Students for Christ Europe, Connect. This was in 2023. We have students come for one solid week. Talk about discipleship. They come from all over Europe. There are some that are called at this meeting. They're coming because they're curious. They go through courses in the morning. We have a course that they take. And then in the afternoon, we have workshops. We also have times of prayer. We have one whole evening dedicated to praying for all the countries of Europe. And we have flags on tables, and we are praying and interceding for the Lord to intervene in our nations. It's a fantastic time. I would never miss it. In the next picture, you see, this is in Germany. And I want you to know, in Herrnhut, now maybe some of you are readers of missions, Christian missions. Maybe you've heard the name Count Zinzendorf. Some of you who went to Bible college, or maybe just in reading. Count Zinzendorf was in the turn of the century back, this is in the 1700s to the 1800s, He had land there. It was not yet Germany, I don't think. It was Prussia. And there were wars between the Catholics and the Protestants. There was a lot going on. And there was a group of Protestants. They were being persecuted, and they were seeking asylum. He allowed them to come on this property and to build homes. And so they called the village Herrnhut, which means House of the Father. House of the Father in German. And let me tell you what happened. They disagreed and argued with one another, and it was a pain for Count Zinzendorf. But he was a man of God. He was full of the Spirit, full of the Holy Spirit. And he said, no, this cannot continue like this. He said, we have to work in unity. You must come together in unity. And you know what happened? The Holy Spirit came upon them. And they were filled with the Spirit. And they prayed. Now get a load of this. This is really incredible. For 100 years, without missing a day, 24/7 they prayed. 24/7. And this was the beginning of a great missionary movement. They went out to spread the gospel. Some of them even, they became slaves so that they could preach to the slaves. And God moved greatly. This is a place that sends forth many missionaries. And right now, Youth with a Mission is taking care of this place. And I went there for a meeting after the revival at Asbury University, you know, which took place in February of 2023. If you don't know that, share it with somebody. I can see there's some heads saying, yes, Suzanne, I've heard about that. I know that that happened. And, you know, I was itinerating just before that, the last time, and I said, Lord, you promised me that I'm going to see revival and that the university students are going to participate in it. So I want to see it, Lord. And this revival happened. Everywhere, all the churches that I was preaching at, they wrote to me and they said, Suzanne, it's happening. What you shared with us, it's taking place. It's true. God is bringing revival to university students. And I want you to know, I'm now part of reviveeurope.org. You can go online. Just type reviveeurope.org. And you will see that God is bringing together university groups all over Europe. And we are working together. And we are praying together. I'm part of an intercessory prayer group. Every week we pray for Europe. We pray for the students of Europe. God is raising up this new generation. Generation Z. But they're also Generation Alpha that are coming up. And you know, there are junior high students and senior high students who are coming. Hallelujah. They are coming. We met with some of the folks from Asbury, and they came alongside us. They said, the Lord has told us to come alongside and to help with revival in Europe. So I want you to know, we our antennas are up. Our spiritual antennas are up, and we are ready to move as the Holy Spirit is moving. In the next picture, you see our church, the Refuge, again, and this was Easter last year, 2024. God is continuing to grow this church. We have meals on that Easter Sunday day. We have a meal that is catered, and there are a lot of new people who come, and then we have our service, and we have baptisms that day as well. And meals are very important. Every Sunday evening service throughout the year, our normal service is at 5 p.m. After the service, we have a meal together. Everybody brings something, and we share. And that's how people get to know each other. We are seeing that the Lord is just causing us to be a family. In the next picture, I'm in Northern Ireland on a retreat. Whew! This is a thin place, my brothers and sisters, where you can connect with the Holy Spirit. Wonderful time. In the next, I do get some retreats every once in a while. And here I am with my colleague, and we, Anais and I, were in London, England, for what is called the Awakening Gathering. Here I want you to know, we met at a church one of the churches. There were three pastors, three churches that were that had been in rivalry one with another. They were actually trying to outdo each other. And the Holy Spirit spoke to them and said, stop it. You cut it out. Repent. Start praying for your brothers. You start praying for these other pastors. And they started praying for each other. The Holy Spirit convicted each one of them. They started praying for each other. And you can imagine what the Holy Spirit has done. He's brought them together in unity. And I'll tell you, we went for a conference there. The young people are coming in by the droves. We were on our faces. The Holy Spirit is moving. Jesus is baptizing in the Holy Spirit. People who have never heard about what the baptism of the Holy Spirit is. I want you to know the Holy Spirit is in control. Hallelujah. Listen, this is God's church. We're just holy participants. The Lord enables us. He gives us the privilege of just working with Him. And we need to be in tune with what He's doing, Pastor, so that we can continue to welcome what He's doing. He's bringing in people. He's bringing in a lot of young people. Thank you, Jesus. But they're coming in, and they're having an intergenerational church meeting. Some of these young people are beginning to talk to older folks. They've never had that kind of counsel. And it's beautiful to see what God is doing in the church. And the next picture, here I am in Copenhagen, Denmark. You might ask, Suzanne, why are you in all these different places? Well, I'm a senior. I'm a veteran. And so I went to counsel and to pray with and to just to be near these folks and to coach them. This is a young team of three women serving the Lord in Copenhagen. And you know what God is really, after that meeting, it was just such a blessed time. I was there with them, praying with them, listening to them, coaching them, mentoring them. And you know, things are beginning to take off. I have to be where God wants me to be. And in the next picture, you'll see, again, Paris, France. This is home base, France. But it's no longer Paris. I've moved to Grenoble. In the next picture, you'll see this is the end of my slideshow, but the beautiful Belledonne Mountains. Bella Donna in Italian. And in English, we would say the beautiful ladies. They separate France from Italy. And again, as the mountains are around Grenoble, so the Lord is around His people. And the Lord is always with me. I never feel like I'm alone. Why? Because I'm a single woman. I've served the Lord, just given my life to Him. I've never regretted one day of it. And you know what? I'm excited because the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come, church. We are part of the greatest work ever in this world. Did you know that Jesus Christ was the first missionary? I don't know if you've ever heard it said that way, but Jesus is, he's the model for us. He is the first missionary. He was sent by the Father, and missionaries are sent. And you know what? In a sense, we are all called to embrace God's mission. We must embrace God's mission. And in this day and age, we need to do that more and more. Jesus said in Matthew 28:18-20, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. This is the great commission, to go and make disciples of all nations. For some of us, it's the neighbor across the street. Let me tell you, we partner at our church with a French couple, and he had been a pastor in the Assemblies of God of France for quite some time. And he was ready, you know, the next step was to go to a bigger church, and you know how things are. In some movements, that's what happens. You move on to a bigger church. Well, you know what? The Lord called them. And they said, no, 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 we're going to go to a village that doesn't have a church, that does not have even one evangelical church. And I want you to know what happened is they lived in this community, and before anything ever started taking place, it took them a long time. It took them 9 years. And you know what happened? At first, they were considered like foreigners. I'm talking, these are French people, born and raised in France, but they're going to a village, and the people didn't receive them right away. And they understood what it was like for us to be missionaries, to come from a foreign country into their country. And I said, you must understand now what that means. Because we experienced that too. We're not welcomed at first. But they stayed there, and their children are going to school there. And you know what? The Lord used the children. Why? Because they're playing with the neighbor's children. And of course, they share what they do in Sunday school. You know how children are. Oh, did you ever hear about Noah? Yeah, Noah built an ark. And, you know, they're talking the stories that BGMC it talks about. Yeah. And they're just sharing with these kids. And these kids are saying, man, you know, I've never heard any of this stuff. And so they tell their mother, Mom, can you tell us more about, you know, we're hearing about all these people, David and Goliath and Noah and, you know, who are they? And the mother had no idea either. And you know what? She finally came over to the house, and she knocked on the door of our friends, a pastor and his wife, and she said, you know, my children are asking me so many questions, and I don't have answers for them. Can I come in and talk to you a little bit about where are they getting all of this? And so she shared with her the Word of God, and she and her husband and their children heard the gospel for the first time ever. And they now have come to the Lord. They've been baptized, filled with the Holy Spirit, and they're serving on the church planting team. This is what God is doing. This is what God is doing through your prayers and through your giving and through us being there to work with them and share with them. Listen, missions is the heart and soul of the being of the church, of the reason for the church. We are the heart and soul together. Whether you're at home or abroad, you're part of a mission, and embrace it. The Holy Spirit wants you to know today, embrace God's mission. God's mission. He loves every single person. The Lord desires that all should be saved, that none should perish. And so, listen, folks, we are part of the greatest job that has ever been established. But before, you know, before we step out, we have to be called. We have to be called, and then we have to be consecrated. And then we are commissioned. So I want you to learn these three C's today. You know, every missionary journey begins with a call from God. I had a call from God. I was part of the church, but it took me 20 years before I got out to the field. But, you know, God called Samuel. Parents, the Lord can call your children. He can call your children. And let's say glory to God. Are you ready? Are you ready to form them and to train them and to allow them to follow the Lord so that they can fall into what God has prepared in advance for them to do? Woo! We want to do what God has prepared in advance for us to do, right? Isaiah, he heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? And we hear the prophet respond, here I am! Send me! Here I am, send me. Have you heard the call of God in your heart? In your spirit? Have you heard it? Listen, sometimes it comes later. I didn't come to the Lord until I was in graduate school. I was so hungry. I was reading the Word of God. I had been raised in religion, but I did not know the Word of God. And I just started reading the Bible for myself. And the Lord brings. He does what the word says it's going to do. You hear the word, and you're going to be able to believe. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, right? And so whether you read it or you listen to it on the U version or however you hear it, listen, God's word, when it goes forth, it never comes back void. Never, never comes back void. And so, you know, the Lord sends his word and his healing takes place and he calls. God speaks. Paul, he met Jesus on the road to Damascus. What an encounter. And this is a man who knew the word of God. He was a Pharisee, the most learned and trained. And yet he didn't recognize who Jesus was, but he met him and God called him. The calling is both an invitation and a challenge. It's an invitation and a challenge. It's God's whispering to our hearts, moving us out of our comfort zones, and inviting us to share his love with those near and far. Sometimes the call leads us across the world, like me, to another nation. And sometimes, as I said, it's across the street. I believe that we Christians, we should be the welcome wagon in our neighborhoods. And so today, you know, there are people that are moving around. It's like God took the globe and he shook it. And people are moving around everywhere. Why? Because they need to hear the gospel. That's what I believe. So if you have neighbors on your street from, I don't know, Ethiopia, maybe. Or maybe they're there from Thailand. Or maybe they're there from, you know, another country like Chad or Niger or Nigeria. It doesn't matter where they're from. God loves them all. And he wants them to come to Christ. And you are Christ's ambassador. Listen, we have a high calling as believers in Christ Jesus. And so, you know, the important thing is to listen and to respond to them. And then trust God that he will equip. He will equip you. We need to lean on the Holy Spirit. Thank you, sweet Spirit of God, for how he ministered to us this morning. And thank you, Pastor, for just giving us that time to be with him in his presence. And he spoke through a prophetic word. He spoke in tongues. And then we had an interpretation. This is the living church that we read about in the Acts of the Apostles. Amen? Listen, my calling came in stages. It's different for each one of us. But, yeah, I read the word and I was saved in New York City. Getting my master's degree at Columbia University. And then I looked for a church. It's a normal thing once you come to Christ. You want to be part of the family of God. And I kept looking and looking, and I found that place, and I joined the church. I got baptized, and I served. The Lord told me, Suzanne, serve now where you're planted. Serve. It took me 20 years, but I was there. And I prayed, and I learned, and I moved in faith. I left my job to follow him. I went to Bible college. And I heard a clear calling that I was to go to France. I had majored in French secondary education. I wanted to be a French teacher. But you know what? I couldn't find a job after I graduated. Now, isn't that something? You know, you feel like, I thought, wow, all the money spent on education, out the door, you know? But you know what God told me when he called me? When I was on my knees at a prayer meeting? He said, Suzanne, I don't waste anything. And that night when I prayed, he showed me the nation of France. And I said, I can pray for France, Lord. And that's when he told me, he said, Suzanne, you're going to France. I don't waste anything. So I don't know about you. Maybe you're waiting. Maybe you have a lot of gifts that you've developed in your life. And maybe they haven't been used yet. But listen, God doesn't waste anything. God doesn't waste anything. I don't know who I'm speaking to today, but get ready. Just keep your sights on the Lord. Keep your sights on the Lord because he doesn't waste anything. Be ready for his calling. Could happen at any time in your life. Let me tell you, I met a retired couple, folks. I met a retired couple at one of our retreats. And they said, Suzanne, we both retired. We were at home. And they said, they just looked at each other. And they said, you know, we're not going to sit at home all day and watch soap operas. And they looked at each other and they said, come on, let's pray. So they started praying. They talked to their pastor. And you know what they're doing now? They're serving in Europe, using their gifts. No longer on the job, but even in their retirement, they're able to continue to serve in the kingdom. And they're visiting different places in Europe, but they're serving at Continental Theological Seminary that had needs that were met by their skills. Thank you, Jesus. I don't know. The Lord, He's great. He wants us to be fulfilled at any period of our lives. Hallelujah. And so they consecrated themselves for Him. Listen, what is it? To be a missionary is to be consecrated, set apart for God's work. Romans 12:1 urges us to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. Consecration is more than a single moment. It's an ongoing surrender of our will, our desires, and our plans for God. It means allowing Him to refine us and purify our motives and fill us with His Spirit. How does this happen? Primarily through relationships in the church. Hallelujah. The Lord uses the local church, folks. Where do missionaries come from? The local church. They come from the local church. Paul and Barnabas worked together and they were sent out from the Antioch church. And it was good to the Holy Spirit. It was also good to the elders of the church. And Paul and Barnabas, they had their differences. If you've read the scriptures, you know that. You know, they had differences over John Mark, who was Barnabas' cousin. And they separated for a time. But then we see later on, nonetheless, that Paul associated with John Mark again. Because he saw. Yeah. Maybe there was some good there that he didn't see before. But what is consecration? Well, how are we consecrated? In the local church. We learn to work with others, forgive others, ask others to forgive us. The Holy Spirit within us convicts us of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And He purifies our motives. We need the Holy Spirit's infilling on a regular basis. We read in the book of Acts how every time they met together, they were filled with the Spirit. They prayed together, just like Count Zinzendorf's group. They prayed together and they lived that life in the Spirit. We need to wait on the Lord and expect that He will give us the Holy Spirit, just as on the day of Pentecost. And afterwards, wherever the disciples preached the gospel, see, He said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Hallelujah. See, this is a process that it's a transformation process that goes from the inside out. The Lord transforms us inside. We let go of distractions and we let go of sin and you know, we dedicate ourselves wholly to God's mission. It's exciting to do that. Hallelujah. It's more exciting than to be dedicated to some other mission. The mission of God. Embracing God's mission. The world recognizes something different in those who are truly consecrated. God's light shines through us. So if God has called you, and maybe God is calling some of you today because I believe God is calling. He's going to call missionaries up until the very day before He comes back. Why? Because He loves each one of us that much. I don't know what your testimony is. Maybe some of you have some really wild testimonies about how you met the Lord, you know? But that's our God. He will go to the extremes to meet us, to call us into His kingdom. And so, you know, He wants us to hear His calling. And he wants us to consecrate ourselves because we're not robots. He's not forcing us. This is something that we do out of love for him in return. And then thirdly, we are commissioned. Why? Because we come from the body of Christ around the world. We come from the great body of Christ. And in our movement, we come together from many, many different churches all over the USA. And we meet other colleagues, others who are called, and we are commissioned. We are commissioned. We are sent out with the authority and the empowerment of Jesus Christ, with the authority of Jesus Christ and his church. We are his church. We are the living members of a body. Jesus gave us many different examples of what that is. But we belong to him. And we are not alone. The Holy Spirit goes before us and he prepares hearts and empowers us to speak with truth and show compassion. The church is with us in prayer, in love, in financial support. We are the sent ones. And that's who you are for me. Thank you, church. Thank you, church, for praying for me, for loving me, for putting cash, you know, on the line for me so that I can live in France and I can be your hand extended. You know, I'm just a little finger out there. Do you realize that? I'm not a hero in any sense of the term. You know, oftentimes people call us heroes. Well, you know, we're part of an extended. If we didn't have you with us, we couldn't do it. We depend on each other. And that commissioning has to come from the local church. I was commissioned from a local church because my elders knew me. People knew me. They could confirm that calling. And then I was sent out by our movements that I could come and visit you here in Arizona, near my family. Some of my family members live here. And I thank God for your commitment to me over the years. You see, God and his mission, this is the most important endeavor ever on the face of the earth. God sent his one and only Son so that whosoever believes in him would not perish but would have everlasting life. Jesus was the first missionary. And we want to follow in his footsteps. And I want you to know, folks, this revival that God has promised me, it's not just for France. And it's interesting because it didn't happen in France quickly. It happened in Asbury University. And I said, Lord, I thought you meant France, you know, that I would see the students that I'd work with. And we had this discussion, and then I said, okay, I'm sorry, Lord. You do things the way you do them. But it's amazing how many people I've met who were actually at Asbury. And we are preparing more and more. And I want you to know that even coming to Arizona, I don't know if you're aware of this, but the Urbana meeting is taking place here in Phoenix. And Urbana is a big young people's movement. It's the university movement from many, many different campuses all over the United States of America. And we are believing that one of the leaders from the movement over in Europe, Revive Europe, she's one of the speakers. We are believing that we're going to see missionaries raised up and sent to Europe from the Urbana meeting. One of the things that God has thrust me into since I've moved to Grenoble is intercessory prayer. I intercede with a group of people every week for the university students of Europe. And God is opening up more and more opportunities. When I go back to the USA, to France from the USA, I'll be going to one of our prayer retreats that we have at the end of February. At the end of January, sometimes beginning of February, because it's always the last weekend. I'll be going to another country where God has opened up the doors for university ministry. And that country is Albania. We're going to be in Tirana, Albania. And here we are in another country. But we will be meeting there. And we pray together and we fast. We pray for Albania, of course, because we're there. And we pray for one another. And God is unifying us and creating a movement amongst us that we can see and be ready for these university students that are coming. They're coming to the Lord. Listen. And you know what? The Lord is going to be bringing more and more people here to your church. And you know what? You just need to receive them. You just need to receive them and love them. And let the Lord do it. I don't know what it's going to mean. You have a team here. You have a pastor who leads you to Jesus and lets the Holy Spirit have his way. I pray that for you. Our new director of missions, John Easter, he has heard from the Holy Spirit. He's a man of the Spirit. By 2030, we want to double the number of missionaries that are serving the Lord. And I want you to know that I'm involved in training some of these new missionaries that come. In Grenoble, we have a hub there for training our new missionaries. And much of the training now is coming to us on the field so that they can have hands-on training. And I just want you to know that excitement is in the air. Excitement. I'm so excited about what God is doing. He's opening up possibilities to share the gospel in the coffee house that we created. And there are many people that just come and have coffee and just to talk. How many of you know people are alone? A lot of people have no friends. A lot of people have not developed relationships. And in this lower, you know, the level of where students, you know, they've been on so much social media and stuff, and they're beginning to put it aside because they want to talk to real people. They want to talk to a real person. And so they're coming, and we get to befriend them and to love them. God is on the move. I believe it. I'm going to see it. And you're going to know it, too, because I'm going to send that information out as soon as things start happening. You know, and they have started happening already. So let's continue to be in tune with what the Holy Spirit's doing. This revival is going to be global. And it's getting into place in different places. They call it, in England, they're calling it the silent revival. Because it's just kind of happening. You know, it's like mushrooms growing. You know, you don't see it happening. Sometimes we don't see that things are happening. But I pray today that the Holy Spirit will awaken each one of us and that we will be aware of what he's doing. What's he doing in your neighborhood? What's he doing in the family? I know many of us, we pray for our family members. We pray for difficulties, right? There are problems in our families. None of us is you know, without something to pray for, right? But God is on the move. God has answered prayers even while I've been here in Arizona. And I'm just thanking him, saying, Lord, I know you're listening. And I just want to thank you today. This, you know, during Christmas season when I can be with some of my family members that I can't see very often because I'm over there in France serving the Lord. But I know that he's going to take care of them. And there are people like you praying for me. I have colleagues and even French friends who say, Suzanne, you've come to serve here in France. God is taking care of your family. God is taking care of them. Yes, yes. The Lord, I believe, is calling today, some of you. He calls. He calls, and then he says, consecrate yourself. Be holy unto me, for I, the Lord, am holy. And then he commissions you. So get ready. I believe the Lord wants to raise up missionaries, Pastor, from this church. It's not done, folks. It's not just Suzanne or others that come through. Listen, God's calling. I see this young couple going to Texas Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You know, missionaries are homegrown. They come from the home church. And then they're sent out. And they belong to the greater family. It's going to happen. Are you ready? Are you ready, parents? Are you praying for your children to walk in the ways of the Lord? And some of you, maybe if you're getting ready to retire, who knows? The Lord might want to send you someplace to do something somewhere. Let's be ready. God hasn't finished yet. He's going to call from North Valley Assembly of God. I believe it. And you're going to see missionaries come forth from your church to go forth and serve the Lord. May the Lord raise up missionaries throughout this entire Arizona district, I believe. The Lord hasn't finished yet. Let's embrace God's mission. Is He calling you? I want to pray for you today. I want to pray for those that sense that God is calling them. Maybe it's not. You don't know where yet, but you know something's stirring in your heart and your mind. Maybe it's to create a certain kind of ministry, to reach to a certain group of people right here. Who knows? But if that's you today, would you just stand to your feet so I can pray for you? Yes, thank you, thank you. Thank you, yes, yes. You serve a God who communicates with you. He communicates with you. He calls you. He loves you. You have giftings. God wants, He wants you to move forward in that. Talk to your pastor about it. Okay, hallelujah. Thank you, brothers and sisters. Anybody else? You sense God calling you? Maybe it's in your school. Maybe you're young here today. Maybe you're a high school student or college student. I'm going to pray for my brothers, my brother and my sisters. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for these who have stood to their feet, Lord God, to say, yes, I acknowledge you're calling me, Lord. You're speaking to me. You want to use me, Lord. And I'm just here today, Lord, to say thank you. I receive you, Holy Spirit. May your calling become clearer. Lord, may your direction come in my life. May I follow in the footsteps, Lord, that you've already prepared in advance for me, Lord. I just want to walk in what you've prepared for me, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for all that you are. Bless my brother and my sisters. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. You can be seated. Hallelujah. Yes. Lord, you are alive and well. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah, Jesus, use me. Surely there's a work that I can do. And even though it's humble, maybe it's to do something right here in the church. Maybe you just need to talk to pastor and say, hey, God's been telling me to talk to you. And even though it's humble, yeah. Yes, Lord. Surely there's a work that I can do. Yes, Lord. I'll work for you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Jesus, use me. Let's stand and sing that song. Jesus, use me. Jesus, use me.
For surely there's a work that I can do. For even though it's humble, help my will to grumble.